Matthew's Gospel 16. Are you still there? Okay, so we're taking up from where we stopped last year. Matthew Gospel 16:13. When Jesus came onto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Jesus asks a question, a critical question. Who am I? He has been ministering in Jerusalem and all the other coast. He has been healing the sick, raising the dead. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 4, verse 35 and 36, and Matthew's Gospel chapter 9, verse 35 to 36, the Bible tells us he went from city to city, town to town, and villages, and he healed the sick. He cast out devils. In Matthew's Gospel 8:16, he said the demons were cast out by his word. Many people came to him, they were healed. Before now. In Matthew's Gospel 14, he multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish for the multitude. So there were miracles, signs, and wonders. But miracles, signs, and wonders does not define him. So he says, "Who the man say that I am?" Why would he ask that kind of question? Because your perception of Jesus is very important. He says, "Who do they say that I am?" And look at some of the things some of these guys said. Then they said, that's his disciples, verse 14. "Some say you are John the Baptist." That's probably the craziest of all. But it's allowed. "Some say you are Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." You know, if you were to be today's charismatic churches, not all, not even most, you would say, "Well, everybody has a right to know God in his own way." So, by the time everyone comes up with the revelation of Jesus this way, some will start a ministry and call it Jesus John the Baptist International Prophetic Ministries. JJBPPMIN. Am I making sense? You know? It is aware. You know, there's some who say, no, that's not what the Holy Spirit told me. You know, that's the Holy Spirit did not show me John. The Holy Spirit showed me Elijah. Jesus Joseph Elijahic. Elijahic. No, Greek word. Elijahic Apostolic. No, that's prophetic. This is Apostolic King. Swearing Jezebel running away from international ministries. And then others will say, no. You know he cried. As he cried, the Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord told me that, can you see his tears? The Lord told me, Jesus, Jeremiah, deep tears, wailing ministries. That's a mystic. Jesus, Jeremiah, deep tears, evangelistic. Because you know, when you are crying, it's evangelism. You know, I'm very deep. And then others will just say, one of the prophets. I've used apostle, I've used prophet, I've used evangelist. One of the prophets shepherding grace ministries. He said, that's my rhema. Some people say, well, God is like a mountain. It's not even heavy when they say it. If you stray on one side of the mountain, you may see a lion. If you stay another side, you will see a gorilla. If you stay another side, you may see a tortoise or tortoise. Now, let's get practical. If I take you to a mountain and you call it a lion, there's some other place I must take you to. It's called the ophthalmologist. There's dissonance in consonance with illusion. What did I just say?
You can't see, even a mountain doesn't like you to call it a lion. Praise God. How would you like it if someone sees you today and say, by my personal revelation, you're a monkey? Glory, glory, glory. So, you know, people have that kind of opinion that, you see, is how you see it. Sometimes when some of us insist that we should teach the scriptures the way it ought to be, they say, ah! This is that's the letter. What about the spirit of the letter? And you say context, pretext, post-text, text. What is it? Don't stress me. Someone told me, he said, you cannot be absolute about things of the scripture. I said, why? I said, I asked him a question. Did Jesus die for sins? He said, yes. I said, why are you absolute? Why do you say maybe? It's like it. It's looking a little bit like it. Or it's a figure of speech. The word of God is absolute. Who do they say that I am? And then, everybody, you know, kept saying things. But did you observe something? That all of them, they identified Jesus with the prophets. It shows you that the average person in Israel did not even know the proper function of the prophets. Because if they were listening well to Elijah, and they listen well, I'm not sure about Elijah. If they listen well to to Jeremiah, because Elijah really has not much that he said. If they listen well to John the Baptist, and they listen well to Jeremiah, and they listen well to all the prophets, they ought to have recognized the Christ. Hallelujah. So, Jesus now comes to Peter, his own man. But no, to his disciples, pardon me, not just Peter. Then he says, you guys, who do you say that I am? Now, listen carefully. Was Jesus expecting them to have an experience? No. You know, in John chapter 5 verse 39, Jesus told his own disciples. He said, the Pharisees and the disciples were there, pardon me. And he says, you search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. He says, they are they which testify of me. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. They are they which testify of me. In John 1:45. Nathanael and Philip were having a conversation. He said, we have found whom Moses, David, and the prophets spoke about. So, when Jesus asked this question, who do you say that I am? He didn't expect anybody to use their experiences to know who he was. Because Jesus' testimony, here it is now. The testimony of Jesus is in the scriptures. He expected them to be acquainted. Listen now. To be acquainted with the message of the scriptures. He wasn't putting them to a test. No, he wasn't. He said, who do you say I am? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spoken time past to the prophets, hath in these last days spoken in his Son. We're going to look about that a bit about that tomorrow. In his Son. So he turns to them, who do you say I am? Look at this. Simon Peter now spoke up in verse 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now hear this well. When Simon Peter said this, he didn't say you are Christ. He said, you are the Christ. Now listen to this very well. That terminology, you are the Christ, means that Peter is agreeing with the message of the scriptures. That look, you are the one that the scriptures are prophesied. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, you are the message of the scriptures. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus now responded to him. Listen to this now, this Bible. Jesus said to him, I say unto you, or said unto him, verse 17, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Glory, glory, glory. I said, glory, glory, glory. Imagine, Jesus calls a man who has a revelation blessed. Say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm blessed. He said, blessed are you. Oh my God. He says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. In other words, every personal attempt will fail. All the other testimonies were personal attempts, where men were seeking God. Oh my God, I want to know him. I want to get to know you, Lord, and all that. And many of us, in trying that personal attempt of revelation, we go outside the scriptures. Remember years ago, I watched a man of God that I respect, and I still respect him. I can respect you, but not respect everything you preach. Amen. You know, people need to get that. You know, in Africa, the minute I don't respect what you preach, you start to fight. That's Africa for you. The minute I say, what you have said isn't right, you start to fight. You call it disrespect. That's not disrespect. That is basic discernment. Hallelujah. So the man said how he had the presence of God. And he said so many things about how one day he went into his room and the Holy Spirit appeared to him. And he said so many great things. How the Holy Spirit spoke into his ears. After a while, the Holy Spirit come here. Then he went to one part of the room. The Holy Spirit come to this side. And you know, and then he said, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was everywhere but in him. You know, in many places today, the Holy Ghost is everywhere but in you. Is either in a bottle, anki? Or is it one corner somewhere? Or is it in bread? Or is it in wine? Or is it in water? But when in you is the greatest problem. We'll see all that in this meeting. Praise God. And so I told myself, Lord, I must have this one too. So I said, I was not going to eat. You know, in the Bible, there were people who said they were going to kill, they won't eat until Paul dies. Amen. So I said, I was not going to eat. I'm going to see you, Lord. I want to hear the Holy Spirit like that man. So I shut the door. Lord! We think he's by Gragra. So I was shaking everything. After a while, I was tired. I stopped. And I was fasting. I said, Lord, that power that makes your spirit you all over me, that I will be drinking Gary, because I don't think it wasn't possible then. He will say, let us take it together. I want that experience. We call it intimacy with the Holy Spirit. No scripture, no verse. See, I want that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Then you ask the same person, can you please give us tongue and interpretation? You say, let the Spirit have his way. You need intimacy. You really need intimacy. Hallelujah. So I was praying and I was fasting. Lord, you will not touch me. I won't leave this place. And I closed my eyes. Seriously, when I'm serious, I'm serious.
I close my, I won't go. And you know the thing about those things is that you start feeling a presence.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes. So one time, I saw a breeze. I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in the shop. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace. Listen, in the middle of it, I was speaking in tongues. Am I not confused? I'm speaking in tongues by the Holy Ghost, and I'm saying you are welcome. Be very careful. Your mind cannot take too many contradictory things. How can you say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome? I said, more nobrahadabos. How did you speak in tongues? Or the tongues for him to come and speak in tongues. So as the breeze came, I said, Yes, Lord. I just opened my eyes slightly. I saw it was the window that opened. Oh my God. Hallelujah. The Father reveals the Son. Hallelujah. Any attempt to want to find out, you end up in trouble. Any attempt. The Father reveals the Son. Hear this well. In Exodus chapter 6 verse 2, we're going to look about a bit of that tomorrow or Saturday. Moses heard the Lord say to him, I am Jehovah. What a verse. Exodus chapter 6 verse 2. I am Jehovah. Which in the originals really has no, YVH, something like that. It's, you can't pronounce it smoothly. And the translators now looked for the meaning. And they found the word Nava in the Hebrew, which means to be. In other words, when he spoke to Moses, he said, I will be. I am the one that will be. I am the one that will be. Now, of course, because of lack of words, the word was changed to I am that I am. But actually, that was not what he said. What he said is I will be. In other words, to Moses, God was revealing to him, listen carefully now, Christ Jesus, I will be. Which you call, I am that I am. He said, by my name Jehovah was not unknown to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 3, I was known as El Shaddai or Shaddai. I was not revealed unto them. No, I wasn't revealed to them that way. I appeared to them as El Shaddai, Shaddai, which means the one with double breasted, who can do. He said, but by this one I wasn't revealed. Hallelujah. Look at the two things. I am Jehovah. Or I am will be. I am, but I will be. He said that to Moses. He said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how did he reveal this? So trying to find it will be confusion. Hallelujah. You get confused. So hear this out. God reveals the Son. The Father reveals the Son. I'll put it like this. God reveals Himself. Every attempt to do it yourself will end up in trouble. Listen now. He said that to Moses. We'll see that tomorrow or Saturday. He reveals, and Jesus also, you know, Jesus also, He revealed the Father.
In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, no man had seen God at any time, except the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He has revealed Him. He has declared Him. He has explained Him. Glory, glory, glory. See, the Father reveals the Son. And the Son reveals the Father. Yes, you have no part to play. Prayer will not do it. The Father reveals the Son. And in that revelation, the Son reveals the Father. No wonder Paul, in Ephesians 3:8, he calls it the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches. Now, listen carefully now. What that word unsearchable means, in fact, when I check the Greek of that word unsearchable, Ephesians 3:8, it's a very strong alpha, you know, alpha or a negative, a very strong one, that is, it is impossible to search Him yourself. Two words, a negative and the word ichnos in the Greek, which is to step to find, that is, when you are going like this. So no matter how many steps you take, you won't get this. Same thing is said in Romans 11:33. His ways are past finding out. Does he mean we don't know him? No. We don't know him by efforts. We know him as a gift. He has given us his revelation. Hallelujah. Say the Father. Say this. The Father has given me the revelation of himself. I receive the revelation of the Father. Follow this one now. He said, unsearchable riches. And many of us, we do all a couple of... Now, listen to this. There's nothing wrong in you taking some time to go to a place to pray, for example. I do it. You go somewhere to pray. Now, when you go somewhere to pray, you go somewhere maybe far from your house, is not for God. It's not a special thing to God. That is for you. That's for you. But many times, people go and say, well, I want to know God differently. I remember a friend of mine in 94. He said he was going to a mountain somewhere after Oyo State. He said, why are you going there? He said, they told me that an angel came there and he stepped on the rock and his footprint is still there. Say, you are a disgrace to the body of Christ. You are going to look for the footprints of an angel. I say, I'm very sure that's a fallen angel. So say, there's this place in my hometown. I'm told that, the way God moves in that place, that the water will just move on its own. You know, Jesus one time went to a pool, and then there was a, you know, people use that verse to preach today. That is, if an angel stirs the pool. And Jesus went there. Said, what are you doing here? Said, I have no man. Jesus did not say, where were you when the angel was doing it? Because it was a superstition. Hallelujah. People even do programs on it. Stay at the stirring of the pool. I'm that angel. I'm going to stir the pool. Yeah, just be superstitious. The Father reveals the Son. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Go back to Matthew 16. Here we are. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. I want us to take verse 18 together. Come on, let's go. And I say also, glory, glory. I say also unto you, I say to you, that is, Peter is speaking about Jesus, and Jesus is talking about Peter. You know why? Look up now. In the revelation of Christ is where we find our own identity. That's where we find it. Notice what he said. I say also unto you. And he says to him, now you want to hear this? You know, you want to hear this? Come on now, you want to hear this? Look up. So that you hear it well. You won't misquote it. He said to Peter. Now, what did Peter say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus now turned to Peter. Now, I say unto you, verse 17, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon which rock? Now, many of us, and I say this thing very quietly, because sometimes when you say something, some people are still struggling with being saved forever. So you have to cool down. You take it small. I told someone, I said, why would all angels rejoice if your salvation has not that number? They are rejoicing over conditional salvation. Say, hey, let's wait till he loses it. I mean, angels, I know they are not as intelligent as we are, but they are not that. They know when something is permanent. Hallelujah. Leave that for another day anyway. So, here we are. He said, I say unto you also, upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon what you have just said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I say unto you also. To you also. So I say also. Oh my God. Do you know who he's talking to? I thought he would say, now I wanted to say unto you. But I observed your forwardness. I know that in the next few minutes you are going to say one nonsense. I'm sure by chapter 17 you are going to say, let us be tabernacle, I know you. I'm also sure you, that by John 13, no, by John 20, is it 20 now? 19:20, you are going to betray me in front of a damsel. A damsel, little maid, you are going to swear by Ogun, I know you. I wanted to say to you, but I looked at what you are going to do, and I said, let me see what you will do first before I say it. Because I cannot be identified with impurity, betrayer, bebeto, forwardness. I cannot be associated with anger. I can see that you are going to speak to another and suffer anger. I can see you. I will never share my glory with any Peter. He would have said that. But you know what? In spite of his future, in spite of his misdeeds, in spite of everything God knew he was going to do and not do, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Hallelujah. I wish you understand this. Jesus knew this guy was going to betray him. He knew. He knew we would continue circumcision. He knew we would continue baptism. He knew they would be going to the hour of prayer and temple. He knew it. But he said to him, I say also unto you, Peter, you are rock. You are firm. You are solid. So I said, what's talking to Peter? Hey, I thought he was talking to Jesus. Jesus talking about, I'm that rock. Peter will be, Jesus is the rock, but so Peter is the part of the rock. Calm down. No, because he's not, we should be very careful. Jesus is the rock. Peter is the stone in the rock. So that means the rock needs stone to be a rock. I say unto you, Peter, I know. He deals with Peter in spite of his future conduct. Listen to me. God does not converse with your conduct before he determines what to call you. He doesn't. In spite of our experiences, in spite of what we might do right or do wrong, the integrity of his word abides. Listen carefully now. I say unto you, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail unto you, or against it, pardon me. And I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And what things that you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What things that you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Who was he talking to? He was talking to Peter. In other words, in that revelation of Christ comes the revelation of the man who believes the gospel. Look at 1 Peter 2:5 quickly. Are you in church? 1 Peter 2:5. Look at this. To whom, verse 4, I start from 4. Look at this. To whom coming? That is, coming to Christ. To whom coming? As unto what? Come on, a what? A living stone. Disallowed indeed of men. And chosen of God and precious. Now, who is the living stone there? Who is the living stone? Jesus. Who is the living stone? Come on, talk to me. Who is the living stone? Jesus. Now, hold on 1 minute. We're going to look at, you see, pay attention to details. As Peter spoke to Jesus, Matthew 16, Jesus said, blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Then look at the next verse, he says, I say also to you. So I say also. So I say also. Look at Peter uses the same word. And you also. Hallelujah. Has living stones. The same word in 4. Don't mind King James. The word lively stone there means living stone. Say I'm a living stone. Hey, your mouth just shook. I'm a living. I just said, I'm a living. You remembered yesterday. I'm a living. That's what I want to say. Say, I am perfect. I was giving an example. I don't know. You say I'm perfect. Just say, ah. Pastor, are you setting me up? Say, I'm perfect. Do you know why a man will withdraw his word? Say, I'm perfect. Say, I. His experiences become real to him. Hey, Pastor, I am. The word of God does not respect your experiences. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. You also as living stone. Say, I'm a living stone. Say, I'm a living stone. You know, Jesus said, because I live, you live also. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, up there is God. Because I know he holds my Israel. He holds my future. And life is worth a living just because he lives, because he lives, because. Say, are you aware it's also because you live? Live? I live, I'm living normally. No. The way he lives is the way you live. You are alive. Hallelujah. Say, I'm alive. You also. I say unto you also. The church cannot be built upon unworthy new creatures. The church is built upon everyone as a rock. Hallelujah. As he is, so are we. In Christ is that revelation of the believer. Close here. As we see him,
We see him as he sees us in him. Yes, Jesus. He knew Peter's weaknesses. He knew what Peter would do wrong. He knew what he had done wrong. In fact, a few minutes after, Peter did wrong. But that doesn't change what he calls you. Many of us need to believe God's word above our experiences. The word of God is more real than what I feel. The word of God is more real than what I don't do or what I do. That I say unto you. You know, sometimes we think when we celebrate our experiences, say God is glorified. You know, in Luke's Gospel chapter 5, Jesus meets Peter. He's a fisherman. And then he casts the net to the side by the instruction of Jesus and he catches a great draught of fish. Say, oh, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. You think Jesus will say, I understand. I know. Jesus said, get up. Get up. Henceforth, you shall no longer catch fish. You will catch men. He doesn't even regard Peter's lamentation. His word supersedes my experiences. The prodigal son's story, the boy is coming home. He had meditated his confession of sins. You know when you meditate confession of sins, I'm going to tell God. God, I'm not about to boast. I'm a finished person. You know I'm done for. Where's your mercy? The boy had meditated upon what he was going to say. I'm going to say to my father, Father, don't take me like your son. Treat me like one of your servants. So he was coming home, he was saying, I'll do it like this, and I'll kneel down, and I'll cry. Some of you have done that before. You have a rehearsal of how you are going to talk. I'll just do like this, then I'll fall down. I need you. You know you're acting. Lord, of everything, I know I'm not worthy. The boy was coming home. The father did not respond to anything he said. He said, hey guys, go do a party. The son is home. They don't do a party. The guy who was supposed to be my son. But along the line, his DNA changed. He's back home. Said, my son, nothing changes what he says. Whatever God said yesterday is what he will say today. Whatever I will say today is going to say tomorrow. What did he call you when you received the gospel? A brand new man, a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Listen to me. 100 years from now, in spite of your experiences, in spite of the failures and weakness, he will remain the same. You are a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. But God, I just failed. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I just sinned. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I just failed in my prayer life. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Oh my Lord, all things have passed away. All things I become new. I say unto you also, I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. He doesn't change. He never changes. His word is the same. In 2017, 2037, what he will say about you will never change. What did you believe? Your sins are forgiven. That is what he will always say. What did you believe? You are dead to sin and alive unto God. That's what he will always say. What did you believe? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That is what he will always say. Lift your hands wherever you are. Wherever you are. What did he say when you believed the gospel? That's what he will say when you sin. That's what he will say when you do the right thing. That's what he will say whether you pray or you don't pray. That's what he will say. Your circumstances does not affect his word. What he will say will be the same. No wonder John said, if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Nothing changes the word of God. You cannot undo what he has said. How can God call you something and you undo it? How can you undo it? The prophet said, no word that proceeds out of his mouth is born. It comes back unto him and it profits in what he has sent it to do. When he sent the gospel to us and we believed it, we became what he wanted and will always be what he wanted. Lift those hands and worship him tonight. Where are you tonight? You cannot be anywhere but in his love. You can't be anywhere but in his word. Worship him. Let no experience of yours change how you see what he says about you. He gave us his word in spite of our experiences. He gave us his word in spite of our challenges. His word is supreme. His word is above my experience. His word is above my feelings. His word is above my actions. His word is what he says it is. Hallelujah.